Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Say My Wombles. Rest in peace to Burt Bacharach. Those were poignant lyrics for all of us who fought the good fight against Coppel and his cronies. Say My Wombles is brought to you by some of us who were responsible for putting together Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're non-affiliated, independent, and non-partisan. Say My Wombles. My name is Mark Lewis, and what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Tonight's panel features Adam Proctor, Niall Proctor, Matthew
Niall
Cooper,
Proctor?
Niall Proctor, you see? That was Niall Cooper, who I've misnamed. Matthew Cooper, and most specially, special guest for tonight, a player widely regarded as one of the deadliest finishers the non-league game has ever seen, Mr. John Main.
John, firstly, we have to apologise for the complete load of nonsense that Mark spouses before every single episode. Yeah. Nobody knows where it comes from. We all just shake our heads and go, this guy, you know, he's now on the Don's Trust board. He's like responsible for things and he comes out with that kind of nonsense.
Does he do it every week? Yeah?
Every week, John. Every week, Mark Lewis comes out with nonsense. But
it's interesting how we're so up to date, mate, that you're giving us Bacharach lyrics when one of the singers from De La Soul passed away. I mean, I'm just thinking you could have gone there.
Three is definitely the magic number. Anyway,
on this is called
show, we'll
clearly
a poor draw against Carlisle.
It was not a poor draw.
Of mixed transfer roundup, and of course, we'll be interviewing the main man himself, John Main. And some numbers tonight is all dedicated to John Main. It's all about his goal scoring feats. Welcome to episode 25.
I'm excited to see how John Main does on that. All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them. He's
got loads of questions. Numbers. How many goals did you score, like, ever? You know, whatever. Anyway, yes, Mark. So on Carlisle. I thought the game, I know obviously John watched it all avidly and like watched it back several times, so he knows all the kind of details. I didn't think it was a bad game. I thought we played all right. It was like a proper game between two teams that are actually looked like they were on form and at the top of the table. It looked like we were actually competitive. Our defence wasn't a shambles, was good. We could have just done with putting the ball in the back of the net. I thought it was actually all right. So nice to have a bit of muscle in the team as well, so you know it's good. Could have just done with a bit of finishing. If only we had a striker.
Are you creating chances?
Well, John, obviously, as you watched the game avidly, you know.
I was actually in Germany, so I must admit, I hold my hands up. I didn't watch the game. Yeah,
I think I don't know if we're creating that much clear cut chances. And I mean, I was saying that it wasn't a ball draw, but it was only on the way back we were talking when we realised that I don't think their keeper had to actually make a save. So it wasn't the greatest of games, but we were competitive with a side who were near the top of the league. And I think the one thing I'm taking away from it is that probably over the transfer window, we've lost some really good players, but maybe we've got a better team. So, you know, we've got options now in lots of different places. And there are some exciting people there. I mean, I can't remember the names of any of them, but there are some exciting signings.
Yeah, I don't think it was a bore draw either, actually. But because a friend of mine texted me and said, how was the bore draw? I said, actually, it wasn't that boring. But it was only really exciting for the last 20 minutes in my mind. And in terms of chances, like, yeah, I am a little bit worried that we are not creating chances, actually. So there's a, that is a little bit of a concern. That I, yeah, we seem to be able to defend quite well, move the ball quite well, but then in the final third, I don't really see that we're doing anything that's that exciting.
We had a lot of good crosses into the box, right? That just nobody was right on the end of.
No one was right on the end of. They were miles behind the crosses. Some of them they were sprinting in like full-on 100-meter athletes to get, which is I was well impressed by. But it's like you are miles behind the pace of the game if you're sprinting into the box. So
it's just they're all just skeptics. I'm like kind of much more pro it. Go on, Mark.
To answer Manny's question about did we create chances? Our top goal scorer this season, centre forward, works really hard. He scored 8 goals all season. In the last 5 games, we've had 3 nil-nil draws, 1-1-0 win, and 1-1-0 defeat. So we scored 1 goal in 5 games, conceded 1 goal in 5 games. So no, really.
No.
But the Pies are really good at the ground.
There is good food and good beer. I mean, that's where we're at, really, basically.
That is
yeah, so long as it's before half time.
Yeah, there was no beer. The beer, whatever. The flood, the electricity failed. I'll blame the board.
It was the electric board. There was a power surge, wasn't there, at half time. But what was great is there was a moment in the game where Brownie, I think he's booted, because we've now got, John, I don't know if you've been down to Planet, but we've now got these electric hoardings, advertising hoardings along one side of the ground, which are really brighter sometimes. They're sort of like, you know, right in your eyes. There was a moment where Lee Brown kicked the ball off really hard against the hoardings. And it was the exact moment when there was a power cut. And I thought he'd shortcutted the whole advertising hoarding. It just went off. And I thought it was Lee Brown having...
To be honest, that's a really important question, right? Obviously, you've played in many a ground with like big electric hoardings. How off-putting are they?
I've never played with him. To be honest, I didn't play that high up.
I know you didn't. I was just kind of like taking a piss a little bit, like, you know. Yeah, but
no.
I doubt they would.
Manchester. Bother me. No, I can't imagine that.
Matt, he didn't play at Manchester.
On getting right into goal, you know.
He didn't play at City of Manchester, Matt.
He was there.
We'll ask him about that later, but he didn't actually play, unfortunately, for him.
I was there, yeah. I was enjoying myself.
I can imagine that John was very sober and a very organised and a careful person that no way in any way would have been a lout later on that night or whatever. I can't imagine that ever happening.
But yeah, it was a weird one. So again, at halftime, it was frustrating for people. But I kind of understand it. You know, there's not much anyone can do. There's a power surge. It wasn't in the stadium. It was around the local area. It affects everything, and so what it means is it knocks out. I think it knocks out some of the CCTV, and then there's a thing with the Met Police that say you can't serve booze if you haven't got CCTV. So it's a warehouse.
Yeah, it's totally out of our control,
basically. And it's just that we've got all, because it's happened before now. We've had a couple of times before where you can't serve beer at half time, and then people have got annoyed. And that was our fault. There was a power surge in the ground. But now, this one, we've sorted that out. My understanding is we've sorted that out. And so this one was an external thing. So just as we've got things going, we got hit by an external power outage.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally out of our control. I mean, from what I understand, is that you know, yes, it was frustrating. There was an audible sort of groan and boo, and I was a bit annoyed as well because I, you know, I like my routines really more than anything. But
beer, well, that's what it means. He likes his beer.
No, but it's the rules, isn't it? It's basically the rules are that if you haven't got operational CCTV nowadays in the football league,
who thought that he was going to say the rules are that I must have a drink at half time, and that is the rules.
100%, that's the rules.
That is the rules I was following, and then I got. Like done over by additional rules from the English Football League, whatever. No, but it's just kind of thing, you know, in the 60s and whatever, they didn't just worry about CCTV to control people. But seriously, obviously, they.
In those days, we didn't even have stadiums.
Exactly. Anyway, well, you know, but it's frustrating, and it sounded like some people again were inappropriate with their frustrations. You know, I kind of laughed when I went and got like a. Something from one of the stands, and the guy said, "Oh, having a good time." I said, "Well, I'd have a better time if I got a beer." But you know, not a bit of banter with a guy. But again, it sounds like, unfortunately, on Twitter and wherever, some people were not as it wasn't banter; they were rude.
No, the banter was face to face, because my eldest works in hospitality, as you guys know, and they were a lot of their colleagues getting comments which were not banter, basically face in their face, entirely impolite and just not very very friendly or understanding, really. The people just want their beer. Everyone's got a match day routine. Adam's got his match day routine, which is how to get out and get a pint at halftime. And if you couldn't do it, you couldn't do it. So I actually got to the point where Danny Macklin, as MD, put some tweets out basically stating that it was not fair and inappropriate to be abusive and using foul and abusive language towards the members of staff who were doing their job. And obviously this was entirely beyond their control, as they say. But unfortunately, football fans can on occasions get frustrated and say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place, as we know, as we've discussed on this pod in previous weeks.
No, I think I was more frustrated because we're losing money, you know, and when I went out, I could see that there's no queues in the places where there would have been queues. And that for me is our big thing. You know, we run a tight ship in terms of our finances and do a really great job of that. And I just think, oh, man, that's quite a lot of money to lose. But I was pleased because obviously at the end of the game, they managed to get the Phoenix back up and running. And so I said to my dad, should we just stay and have a beer here rather than rush for the first train? And we did. And there's quite a few people came into the Phoenix afterwards. And it was nice. So again, I think I personally think the club handled it really well. Chris's announcements were clear in the end as to why that issue was happening. And, you know, we've got to have a safe ground. That's the most important thing, more than anything.
Game. Have you had a chance to get to Plough Lane yet? Compare Plough Lane to Kings Meadow?
Yeah, I've been there plenty of times. Yeah, I've only been once this season due to work. But obviously, yeah, I love going back there. Everyone knows that. I don't like to talk about it much, do I? But
I think genuinely the club is trying to get as many players back as possible. I know they're doing these stadium tours as well. And they've had a number of people back on some of them. They've had people like Chris Gell and Andy Sullivan before your time, obviously. But yeah, appreciating you obviously got a full-time job, mainly. But if you could spare some time either early on a Saturday or maybe on a Friday when they tend to do them, to do a stadium tour, I think you'd get fanboyed by quite a lot of people, probably including the four people on this pod, you know?
Yeah, I would love to do one as well, actually, to be honest. Yeah, I would like to do that.
That'd be really cool. I mean, I think a lot of the old players, you know, you realise that you mean an awful lot to all of us. So, you know, it's actually makes a big difference. Cause I think our history means that the connection between the players, particularly from, you know, the earlier generations, like, you know, where you were at, John, just were part of that massive journey. So it was so important for us. So, you know, I mean, the one thing I always think about is that if you come down to the ground, the big thing you'd have is that apart from having serious liver failure on the back of it, you know, you wouldn't have to spend a penny because there'd be so many pints lined up for you. And that's definitely the case.
Yeah.
I know Mark's got a whole range of other questions. We're all going to chip in, but I'll go back to Mark for this.
Well, we do try and keep some kind of structure to this and usually fail miserably. But the other quick thing I was going to just touch on before we let loose and ask Manny 101 different random things is last week, Mick Buckley's chair released a statement which was a general review overall of the transfer window and how we did and why we made the decisions we made and so on and so forth. What were people's impressions of that? And the fact that we then have now got into a position where we sold a player from apparently undisclosed £1 million.
For me, it feels like this, like I said earlier, it feels like it's what we've had to sell some players, some great players. And I think Ayobasel is just amazing. And I understand he's scoring goals in Qatar. But it feels like we've now got, it feels like we've got a team, which is a really good thing. And I think keeping hold of Jack Curry is great, even though we're now decided that he's going to sit on the bench. I mean, Lee Brown's come in and done really well. I mean, I think he's been fantastic since he started. So I think overall we've done all right. I think keeping Jack Curry, adding some players in who've got that experience. I'm still not 100% sure if we're going to make the playoffs because I think it's so tight now And we're 5 points off. And every time we drop points, I just keep thinking, I'm not entirely sure. We will have to go on a run. And obviously, we've had some really tough games. We've got another tough game against Northampton coming up. I just think we've got some. So it's going to be. So you hope to get these really tough ones out of the way, the top three or four. And then hopefully you can.
As my mate Harry Pell did.
Harry Pell, John, is like Marmite player galore. I love Harry Pell because Harry Pell is just like he piles in. He's a shiphouser. What's it? You know, kind of. He's got a problem sometimes with standing up, John.
Well, that was one of my questions for Maney, right? Because seriously, that's my main issue with some of these players. They fall over. But watching like loads of stuff, Maney, you rode tackles to score goals. And that's what I like, you know? And the...
I used to know how to fall, yeah.
I think Pell's been brilliant.
Pell's been brilliant. Pell's changed that. To be honest, Pell's been an absolute revelation in the middle of the park, you know, playing. Him and Woody have formed a really good partnership, and it's just massively solidified. He's one of those players that, as an opposing fan, you will hate, but as a home fan, you just think, I want him in my team. And I absolutely adore having Harry Pell, and he reminds me so much of the character what the club's about.
Yeah.
So, you know, absolute legend. So don't pass any of that on to him, because otherwise his head would go through the roof. But, you know, honestly, I think it's, yeah, he's definitely a big asset for us.
Good. He keeps messaging me, asking me when I'm coming down next.
Does he? Well, you need to be, you know.
No.
What are you up to, mate? What's keeping you away from the ground?
I'm working out in Germany.
What are you up to there?
Doing a data centre, electrical.
Oh, you're not up at... They haven't got you in at Bayern Munich then, helping out there.
Oh, I'm 2 minutes from Frankfurt Stadium here. I'm not far.
There you are.
Yeah.
Sorry, got the wrong slide.
I can imagine you're turning out for Frankfurt. There must be a good, decent, you know, like little German team. What was the last one team you played for? Was
veterans is what you mean, Niall. Veterans.
Veterans, yeah. Yeah. Parkwood Rangers was the last team I played for.
Parkwood Rangers.
Played in yellow and blue.
Oh.
Where were they? What league were they in?
Scored 18 in 10.
That's all right, isn't it? When was... What league were they in?
I have no idea. I don't know. We weren't very good.
18 in 10, though. How bad? I mean, come on.
18 in 10 sounds pretty good. This is what I mean. You might be falling over, but scoring the goal at the same time is all part of it. Come on.
It is. So, go on, Mark. You've got a list of questions. I know I've got a list of questions.
I got those random things, but actually the first thing, going completely off script, I was more fascinated to know, you know, are you actually living out in Germany now, Maney? Is that a total lifestyle change?
Basically, I've been doing 14 days there, and I've been back for six. So I'm going tomorrow, but I'm going for 10 days this time, so it's all mixed, really.
That's so how is Germany
when
coming
I,
on?
When I get back, I can't really... That's no good. When I get back, I can't really say I'm going football. She pulls a pug on that one a bit, yeah.
So the family's still over here and you're just disappearing off Alf Riedersehen Pet style. You're too young to remember Alf Riedersehen Pet.
I think you just need to say, right, I'm going shopping in Lidl in Wimbledon. It's going to take me a couple of hours. That'll be fine. It's really close to where you are.
14 days later.
are you out in, where are you based? Welling now? Is that where you're living, around that area?
Woolwich.
Not a million miles. Matt's in at Hiver Green and I'm down in Chiswell. Nah. So we're not a million miles away from you in this bit. We can give you a lift.
All right.
That was so the man always gets the train to
yeah, go. I know.
So here's a question. Who said this? How would I sum up John? Tactically, not great. Physically, not great. Generally, tactically, not the brightest.
Bassey, probably.
It was indeed Simon Bassey, correct. Is that harsh but fair, or is that just the way you and Bassey bounced off each other?
No, I love Bassey, yeah. He's, yeah, I speak to him quite a bit still.
He was the special
best
guest
coach about. Best coach about by far, yeah.
Oh. One thing we were going to say, like on your, do you have a WhatsApp group with XAF's Wimbledon players and who's on it?
We do. We do the Christmas one, don't we? The Christmas booze up at Covent Garden. So it's like the old school. Jason Goodlift, Elliot Godfrey, Alan Innes, me, Stig, Mickey Aswell, Andy like- Little, Ben Judge, probably the older lot, yeah.
Who's last man standing in the drinking stakes? Not Ben Judge, surely.
It's usually Ben Judge. He weren't there this year, I must admit, or this time. I think I've done it this time. To be fair, yeah, I did. Me and Keds.
And who's still in football?
Jason Goodliff, isn't he? He's at Sutton.
Of course he is, yeah.
Which brings us on to the classic Jason Goodliff question, right? Mm. Is it true that he was told not to kick you in the game before you signed for us?
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. Yeah, he said it's never happened to him before. But let me tell you, he did ignore that, and he did kick me in the second half. Yeah, which he loves telling everyone as well.
Who was it? That told him?
It was Terry Brown. Yeah.
But you'd already scored, right? You scored against us when you'd already signed for us. Is that true?
Yeah. So, well, I wasn't allowed to talk to you until after the game. And use was 2-0 up at half time. And then we come out and I scored one and set one up and we drew 2-2.
I remember the game. And Jason was told not to kick you. I imagine that whole second half would be like, right, screw that.
It was so odd, yeah, because I was obviously excited to get the deal done, but obviously I want to score loads of goals as well. So, but it was quite funny with Luke Garrard as well, because he was in my ear all game.
Oh, really? What was he saying?
He was just like, no, he was being nice, to be fair, but he was like, just can't wait to get you down here. But we ended up like, being mates before the end of the match. And
oh, brilliant.
Really, you should have concentrated on marking me, because I started scoring, so...
Your old Stig. So 68 goals, 86 games at Tonbridge, according to the internet. Although John Main doesn't have a Wikipedia page. Someone's got to do something about that. So what was your first impression when you came down to Wimbledon compared to everything else you'd experienced in non-league?
I couldn't believe how far away it was from where I lived.
Brownie didn't tell you that then.
I got the train to, I ended up getting to the ground and then Eric gets drive me to the training ground because I didn't know where it was. Yeah. I thought, what have I done here?
How was, what was it like playing with Keds? Because obviously Keds and you were like a kind of big partnership and, you know, were you involved in like kind of saying this is the kind of person I want to play with or whatever? What was it like?
Yeah, so obviously I joined before Keds and I did all right. I broke my foot, didn't I? But then when I come back, I did start scoring some goals. But as soon as he signed, I just knew it would be perfect for me. I just knew it straight away. I didn't know him. I read about him and stuff in the local papers because he was like down in Kentway. But that first game, I just thought, yeah, this is going to be really good.
So obviously, he scores the goal that sends us up to the league. Shouldn't that have been John May?
Yeah. Say that again, sorry, cut out.
So just saying, like, obviously he scored the goal that sent us up into the Football League, right? But isn't there a part of you that's going like, that should have been me?
I would have loved it. I would have loved it to have been me, yeah, because I think when I first signed up, I think I said somewhere at one point that I'm gonna get you into the Football League. And the funny thing was Keds Ped was saying the same thing in the build up, even like the season before, saying your score is the goal that will get us up, but it turned out to be him. Yeah, I mean, obviously, no hard feelings at all. I understand why Brownie wanted to change formations, but I was always there, ready and able. I felt.
Were you injured in that season? In that season before we went on?
I did my PCL, didn't I? I did it at the end of the first season in the conference, and to be honest, I never really recovered from it.
Yeah,
I never got back to 100% with that.
So one of the things I was curious about is you scored a lot of important goals, and arguably, really, without the goals you scored at the time you scored them, we wouldn't have had the chance to get to the conference, let alone to get to that playoff final. I mean, things like the Hampton Richmond goal or that Hornchurch goal from the halfway line. I mean, they are, I don't know which one of those is your favourite. I'll tell you my Hampton Richmond story in a minute, but. What would you say was your favourite ever Wimbledon goal?
Definitely the Hornchurch game for me, because nice. I just got back from injury, and it was like last minute. Like I had my dad and my brothers there, and that night that was like the loudest King's Meadow's been for me. It was just, yeah, that was the best. Yeah,
that was incredible. But I do love the Hampton and Richmond bit, because wasn't there there's a couple of them lying on the floor? They've just sort of collided with each other. You've taken the throw in quickly, and it's come in.
To be honest, at the time I didn't see them down injured. That it probably is a bit out of order, in it, but I will.
It's a John Main header. How many John Main headers were there?
Not many. That was my first and last goal that season were headers. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant! What was the first goal you scored for us?
Ramsgate away off me right knee.
Was that
perfect?
How long did it take you to get up and running? Because you've come to us from Tunbridge. How long were you up and running? Was it like that?
I think it was like my fifth goal, fifth game. Yeah.
You never stopped.
It took me a little while, but I've got there, yeah.
No, that Hornchurch. I think for us, you know, you replay moments, you know, on YouTube or whatever back again, you know. We watched the Hornchurch, we watched Hampton Richmond. I mean, so those are your moments. Do you have sure like moments you look back on YouTube or whatever, any clips?
Definitely. And the Newport County game as well. Yeah, that's up there.
When you scored a hat trick away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That was not bad. That was a pretty awesome one as well. Just the other thing we're doing at the moment is we're about to launch a Hall of Fame, right? For the whole club, for going all the way through, but through seven eras, right? And one of the eras is 2002 to 2011, right? Pretty much the John Main era.
Right.
Now we're going to be picking, we've kind of got a shortlist of 10, which I'm not allowed to announce yet, but I know it is, because I've seen me and Mark are among the 19 people that helped put it together.
Fine. Now the question is, John, are you happy to help select that best players, mate? I mean, like, you haven't, you know, cut the difference, but you're all right to...
No problem. Yeah, of course.
Well, I was just thinking about who would be amongst your like top few players from that era, from your era, that you would think should be in a Wimbledon Hall of Fame.
Well, I'd start with Jason Goodliff. I see him do it. He done a 50-50 tackle with his head and the fella's foot once. So that has never left my mind. I just thought, what a lunatic. But that's what he was willing to do to win. So he would always be my captain. Obviously, Ked's by far the best player I play with. Who else? No, even Chris Hussey, who went on to do amazing, like considering where he come from and at that time being in the reserves, and I see how much he worked with Bassey to the side. Outside training as well, so yeah.
And Bass, I guess for you, I mean, like, he sounds like he was really instrumental in, you know, everything that was going on.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was the one. I don't know anyone that would say bad words about him, to be honest, that's been involved in football. He just gets it, and I'm looking forward to him getting his own job one day. I'm sure he would do really well. Yeah,
I still have a sneaking suspicion. I have no inside knowledge at all, but I have a sneaking suspicion that he may end up being our manager. You know, he's still obviously held in very high esteem by the fans and by the people off the pitch as well at the club. You know,
what is he like? What's the kind of character of Simon Bassey? If you were to like kind of, you know, give it like an elevated pitch of like what is Bassey?
Well, he does. He's got an all round personality. Like, he can be strong, he can be funny, like he's smart. Like, he's just an all round top guy for me. Like, any problems I've ever had, even I still go to him now for advice. He really is like that kind of guy that you can speak to now, considering how long ago I left.
So you came into the club relatively, you've been obviously playing non-league for a long time. So you were relatively mature, if I want of a better word. And then you said, you know, you mentioned Chris Hussey and obviously Goodliffe played in the league before he came to us. Chris Hussey went on to play a long, distinguished league career, which is still ongoing, actually, in League Two. And obviously Kedge played for his boyhood club, for Gillingham. When you see that type of thing, is there like a tinge of regret that you didn't quite get the chance to play in the league?
There is, to be honest with you. Yeah, like I always felt like I deserved a crack at it. And I'm not talking about with Wimbledon, like even before or after. To be honest, when I left Wimbledon, Dean Oldruff rang me up to go to Aldershot. But it just weren't right. Like my body wasn't right. I would have just made a mess of myself, to be honest. So I chose to go back down to a couple of levels below where I knew I could get away with playing at 70%. But yeah, I do regret. Yeah, I do. I believed I deserved a crack at league football. Yeah.
Do you think
any other offers, John?
No, I only had a few trials before Wimbledon, but I never played well in any trial, so it never worked out for me.
There is a question about whether you had a trial at that club from Buckinghamshire.
I did have a trial for that club at Buckinghamshire, yeah.
How'd you keep that one quiet?
Luckily, I didn't do well, so it was all right.
Did you realise when you came to us exactly what the animosity was?
I did. Only until I joined did I understand it. Even I remember like reading about it at the time, but because as a boy, Wimbledon wasn't my club, it's sort of like I didn't really understand what was going on. But obviously, yeah, once I joined you, then I realised how big it was. Yeah.
Obviously, we want to know that you went up there and thought, this is a pile of absolute shit. I hate that. Hate playing, training there. I'm not even going to bother, and just kind of amble around the pitch, basically half smoking a fag with a can of beer in the other hand. That's basically what happened, wasn't it, John? Tell us that's the truth.
Basically, yes, exactly that. Was you there?
Now, the question was, what lager was it? Or was it anything else? Was it a Guinness?
No, right. Judge wasn't there. It wouldn't have been a Guinness without Judge being
there. Right, that was a very fundamentally important question for me to know.
Yeah, yeah. So, mate, and I was going to ask one. So, Maney, in terms of like, you know, we're all Wimbledon fans. You know what the unique story is, you know, and you know why we feel that we are unique and excited about it. I mean, did you feel that? Did you see that? And what did that mean when you got on the pitch? Because for all of us, it's a lot about, you know, we want to see the players really buy into a bunch of the things that we feel are unique about Wimbledon and why it makes us exciting and interesting and different. And I wonder how does that come across to players on the pitch, particularly like you were in the early days of that kind of insane sort of return for us. So how did you find it?
Yeah, well, I think I lapped it up, to be honest. I felt like I got the club. I understood what it meant to everyone. And it just got stronger as the seasons went on with me. It used to wind me up where I come across some players that weren't like that. I would never like go and say nothing, but I used to think you just don't get it. Like, I felt like I got it. That's all. And it meant everything to me. And like, I know I just said, oh, there's a regret I didn't play league football, but I always said this, that in Wimbledon, I had a league club. Like, the way we got treated, even the Ryman, was just like you would in the league. So I know I said I regret that part, but we got treated like league footballers. Like, it was a level up from what I was used to.
Yeah, I hope for you, John, you don't have any regrets. I can understand it, but I think what a lot of people don't realise is, you know, once you've played for us and the contribution that you made to the club has been so important to us. I mean, you are held in really high esteem. You know, if you came down, you know, they put you onto the pitch before a game, mate. You'd get a huge round of applause.
Yeah,
I can understand it. I mean, it's almost like that Harry Kane thing, which is like, you know, for Tottenham fans, he's done amazing and he scored all these goals. And a lot of people going, we ain't won anything.
Yeah,
but you know, for us, it's been brilliant.
That's clearly why John Main's better than Harry Kane. Because he won stuff.
And won stuff, yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, that's, I think for us, that is a, that's, it's a really important thing. And we look back on your time and your goals with such fondness. I mean, like, people are still digging them out on YouTube and talking about it. It's been fantastic. And that partnership you had with Keds was brilliant. And I think we were all delighted when you look back on Manchester final, you know, after he scores, he sort of seems to make a beeline for you.
Yeah, I was first there, wasn't I? Yeah, so yeah. No, it was brilliant. Yeah,
what was that like? That game? What was that day like?
Kicked or something?
I knew he was going to score, that's why I was first there.
Yeah, what was the day like?
It was like I had 3 days up there, I think. It was brilliant.
Yeah,
Bandy said to me, I'll put you down the other end of the hotel. He said, I can't have you near the team.
What's that about?
He said, but he said, you can do whatever you want. So just behave yourself, but do what you want. So there was actually, we played a game on the pitch the day before.
All right.
And so like the team that was starting against everyone else. And I said to Brownie, if I score a trick, put me on the bench. I was still hungover, to be honest, yeah. But he said, "Yeah, no worries." And the team I was playing for, like the subs and all that, we won 2-0. We had like a 40-minute game. We won 2-0, and I scored 2.
You scored at that venue.
Did he blow up at that time?
Yeah, he said.
That's your second goal. He went. That's it.
Well, there were no penalties, at least, fortunately.
No.
So, obviously, as you said, you know, you moved on after Wimbledon, and the time, the 4 years seemed like a very long time at the time, but actually, in retrospect, 4 years doesn't seem so long. Mm. And then you dropped down to different levels. How did that feel? I mean, you mentioned you were playing below the level you could play, but is it a big come down to go from... Well, to go from Tonbridge in front of a few hundred to 3,000, 4,000 at Wimbledon, and then down
here. Yeah. Well, I went back to Tonbridge because I was held higher there as well, but I struggled, to be honest with you. I struggled to get motivated. As I say, I was only running at 78% at best, and I knew it was game over there and then. I tried to do the best I could, but I think I only played like 2 or 3 games that season because my knee, anyway. But I did struggle once I left Wimbledon to go from that every Saturday to, you know, a bit lower down. Like I did, I just couldn't get motivated enough for it. And as the legs were going, the heart was going as well.
So it's sad to hear that. But I mean, just going back to when you were talking about the people that got Wimbledon, who were the kind of people that you felt were like you that kind of had a real understanding of what the club was about? Who were those other players that you were playing with that were the ones that you thought they're going to go for almost run for a brick wall for because of what the club stands for?
Yeah. So early doors, like, as I say, like you always need a good spine and Brandy always seemed to get that. Like, so like the Ben Judges, the Good Lifts, the Andy Little, they all got the club, like solid old pros, like, and then later on, when like Keds turned up, Tom Davis I thought was brilliant. I've never seen anyone wind people up as much as him before. He did, yeah. He was awful, yeah.
That's cool. There's got to be two other things on that. Like, so is there a kind of memory of any kind of antics, any kind of like stuff like that, that you, now with it 10 years on, that John Mayne spills the beans on like some bad stuff that happened, that happened in the background that we'd all love to
see? That is, that's for another time.
Surely.
Yeah, good, mainly because I don't want to edit this blooming podcast any more than I have to.
What goes on in breakers stays in breakers, obviously.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it is such a like, you know, whatever. It's a tease, isn't it? There's just that little hint.
So if we could just get those names again of the people that run through the Brit rules, and by process of elimination, we can find out those people who didn't care so much, all right? We'll
cut
them down.
Was there anybody you kind of thought like that you think wasn't, you know, they just didn't quite get it?
Yeah, there's a few, yeah. I'm not going to name them, though.
Let's get the squad sheet out. We can go through it.
No, clearly the thing is there are some players that are going to focus on the career, and the career doesn't attach itself to a club, I'm assuming. Whereas some players will get that. I mean, mainly, so in terms of like your connection with the fans, because obviously, you know, we have and continue to have Man of the Match that's very close to the fans and that kind of stuff. I mean, how did you feel about the connection with the fans itself in terms of them being real people rather than this just a mass of 4,000 people screaming at you?
Yeah, like them Man of the Match awards, I thought was brilliant. And it was nothing I'd seen before as well. And it's just nice to interact with the fans. Like obviously, they've come out their way to come and support you and cheer you on. So I always felt like it was do your part, go and speak to them back. That's the way I was anyway.
Yeah, nice.
It does seem quite bizarre already that it's almost 12 years now since that game, since the playoff final, obviously. And that was the for some people, including obviously Keds. Keds never played league football for us. He played it for Gillingham, but he never played it for us, which is kind of strange in its own way. I get, and it's fabulous also to see someone like Brownie still involved down at Aldershot as well, still, I believe, as chairman.
Yeah.
I'm at some point, now we have the new stadium, obviously, I think we should restart what we used to do. We've done some of these old dinners. We've had some of the 88 Cup final players down there.
Yeah.
So I think we should have some of those dinners and get your team back together again. You know, Judgy, like you're talking about. You know, Sam Hatton, who knows? Oh, Sam Hatton's one he didn't mention. There you go. You can put Sam Hatton on your list there, Matt.
He was good. Oh,
I'm sure that he got it, didn't he, John? Eh? John? John?
What did he get?
Oh, there you are. Enough's been said.
Did he get AFC Wimbledon? Look, I interviewed John, mate. I interviewed Sam Hatton for the book, Matt, and I'll say nothing more on that either.
That's enough. Sam Hatton's on the blacklist. Bless him. We used to say as fans that it seemed like Sam Hatton had some type of pictures of Terry Brown, because it was really unfair, you know, because he was a decent solid player in midfield down at right back. But people used to say, why is he in the team? Why is he staying in the team? He must have some photos of Terry Brown having done something, you know.
He was the most quietest person you'll ever meet in your life, yeah.
He's in that dressing room, how does that work?
Yeah, he wouldn't say a word, Sam, yeah.
But then, honestly, Mark, you've got to think about who's saying all the words. There's no way anybody would get a word in edgeways of that lot. Can you imagine, like, him trying to say something in front of Kedwell and Jason Goodliffe and John Mayne, that lot?
I rated Sam, though. I did.
He's a good player.
He scored loads of goals for us. He was brilliant.
Scored some good free kicks, didn't he? Yeah.
And that divot also helped, you know.
Oh, yeah. Was it Thurrock, was it?
That was the Thurrock. The Thurrock divot is still known as one of the best assists that we actually managed for a goal over the years. This is fabulous. Look, I think we could go on all night, but I think we should actually let the main man get his beauty sleep if he's got to get up early to get off to Germany.
Oh, no. Mark, you've got to do numbers with John Mayne.
Oh, we have got to do numbers, yes. So just do for numbers. John's benefit, what right. We do at the end of every pod is we come up with a random number. You just get a number like 23 or something, and the number relates to something that is Wimbledon related. So like you scored 23 goals in your first season or something like that. Yeah. Mm. And normally it's like we've kept 10 clean sheets this season, so the number's 10. And every week Adam fails to get it completely by routine. He's got no idea what it is. So this week I thought we have to devote it all obviously to you. So this is all about the things you did at Wimbledon, the achievements right. you managed at Wimbledon. Okay. So
Mark, should we just get John Main to answer all of them?
Well, he probably should know the answers. That actually some of them are about Main, one of them is about another player he played with.
I'm now realising I shouldn't have been working all day and should have been researching all of the stats related to Mainey.
All right, obviously anyone can answer, but we'll give Mainey the opportunity to answer the first one. Mainey's number is 44. What does that relate to?
Right, three goals.
They're not obscure. They're actually quite simple normally.
44. Is there any amount of times that John Main was a substitute?
Harsh. No.
44.
Main, he managed it and he can't remember himself.
44.
Number of goals in his first season?
First two seasons?
No.
44. Go on, Adam, have a guess.
I don't know.
No, 44 is a weird one, isn't it?
It's 44, the amount of metres that John Main ran to get the third goal against Hornchurch.
They never had any GPS things at that league level.
That's true.
I'm just trying to think, whatever. 44.
Number of headers.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll put you out of your misery. 44 is the number of goals that Mainey scored for Tonbridge in the 2006-2007 season, with quite a lot of hat-tricks along the way as well.
Wow, that's 2006-2004 in one season.
That apparently is still the Tonbridge record.
That's insane.
I won a non-league player of the year that year.
Absolutely right. Yeah, quite right too. Okay, this one's for Niall. Niall's number's 33.
33. Is that the amount of goals that John Main scored in their season? Must be one. It's going
to
be the
conference
South season.
Might have been
8-9.
Yeah, it was 2008-2009. One the one time he was top scorer.
Was that only once?
Yeah.
Was he not top goal scorer the year before as well?
No, some bloke called Kebwell going away. You know.
No, not 2007-08.
No.
No, I joined late and I've got broken foot.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Adam's number is 58.
This is pointless.
It's not pointless.
58. That's not a total appearances, is it? That's too small, yeah?
You might have guessed there's a theme to this. It's about Mainey and it's about goals.
Right, so it shouldn't be difficult, Adam.
Well, so at some point there's 58 goal-related incidents.
No.
What? 58.
You see, Mainey's trying quite hard to remember this one as well.
Total number of goals?
Yep, total number of goals Mainey scored for Wimbledon in 114 games.
How many games?
I'll start in a minute. Yeah, that's what the internet says, my friend. I'm just reading the internet. If it's wrong, then get a Wikipedia page up to correct it. Sorry.
What is questioning this?
58 goals in 114 games. Is that right?
That's wrong.
That's what it says.
Before we do a number, something's come to me. Mainey, did you play for England C?
Who?
England C. Did you play for the England C?
No, I didn't make that either, yeah.
Well, that was a travesty. How did you not make that? I suppose that's
annoyed me, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you played for England C.
I don't mean to bring these things up. I was hoping to end on
played for them. I think Sam Hatton played for them even.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Did you see John Main's look then when you just said that? That was like putting a knife in his heart, that was.
I would have loved that. I would have loved that, yeah.
All right, final number is 63, and this one's for Matt.
Right, so what have we had? We've had all the goals he scored, yeah?
Yeah. Here's a trick. This one's not about Mainey. This one's about someone else who scored goals for us, about the same time.
Okay, so we're doing the whole session's about Main, apart from my question, which is about someone else. It could be anyone else. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but who else scored goals for us at that point?
I'm going to go for Danny Kebwell. The man at goal, Danny Kebwell scored for us.
Correct. But yeah. Here's the thing to cheer up, Manny. Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing to cheer up, Manny, and to send us out. Kebwell scored 63 goals in 138 games, which is 0.46 goals a game. Manny scored 58 goals, internet information I can find, which is 0.51 goals a game. In other words, more than half a goal per game. In other words, Maney's average is better than Ked's.
So you're...
Tell him that one. We'll take that one. Maney is number one. Absolutely.
John Maine, number one. There you go. So we're doing a Hall of Fame votes. We'll remember that when we're looking at who to have in that Wimbledon Hall of Fame. So when you're doing that, you remember to remember that Kedwell got 0.46, and that's why you'll be judging at and making the decision at your selection, having sadly missed the cut.
And apparently you're not allowed to choose yourself, which is very unfair, really.
I think on behalf of all of us, I think we'd just like to say thank you, mate.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you very much.
Genuinely for being here and doing this, but also for
Everything Mike wants to say.
Getting the fans.
No, thanks, lads. Thank you very much. Loved it.
Thank you, John. Now you can go away and do your plastering. Yeah.
Good luck in Germany, my friend. We'll send you
the link. I'll see you soon, yeah?
See you down at Plough Lane.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
This has been episode 25 of the Same Old Wombles. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to John Maine. Thank you to Niall. Thank you to Adam. We're on the usual places to find your episodes and podcasts, usually out every Tuesday morning, and we'll see you all soon. Thank you and good night. And it might as well be just my world.